Okay, with producer Michael Potter, Space for Art is the short film played at the Documentary Film Festival. So we talked to you last year about your film Tracks, which is extremely memorable, especially in today's climate. It made me remember, like especially after October 7th, it really made me like I one of the first memories I had was your film. And that's about like this, like well, like familiarize people with Tracks, and then we can get to Space for Art because I think that this is an important film, so I hope it's doing well as well.
Well, Tracks with the subtitle Stumbling Stones Amsterdam did remarkably well. We just had a great run in the film festival circuit last year. There may be one or two festivals coming up, but we won a number of festivals, and we felt just tremendous gratitude. And I think the thing that's interesting about Tracks, and then we'll switch over to Space for Art, the thing about Tracks was that the world wasn't ready for it 15 years ago. There's something magical that just happened really in the last few years. And I think it has to do with the generational changes, but there was just so much spirit and enthusiasm and optimism when we showed the film. And in the current climate, I think one of the things that when I think about the film, I think about it as, historical. I mean, obviously it was very poetic because it's about the concept of remembrance more generally. But I think that a lot of people just think, okay, well, that's kind of that's beautiful and that's in the past. But I think with a lot of the contemporary events around the invasion in October the 7th into Israel by Hamas, suddenly it's very relevant again. And people just I think a lot of people thought that anti-Semitism was behind us,
No.
and so it is really kind of disturbing. But I think there's a few things I guess that connect the two films. And number one is that the first film, Tracks, was also about art. It's the world's largest distributed sculpture on the planet, and so it wasn't an intentional thing that said, okay, let we only want to focus on art. It was more coincidence that happened. But also the idea of art to inspire. In the case of Tracks, it was about remembrance. And I think in the case for Space for Art, it's really about healing and the power of healing. So I think those are the similarities between the film, and of course, whether we like it or not, both films are extremely relevant today. And again, Tracks, even though that was supposed to be a more nostalgic reflection, a poetic reflection on remembrance, suddenly has become really relevant again.
Well, I remember talking to you about this in the podcast, and this is over a year ago. So this is like, I think it was last March. And so long before October 7th. And I said, there's so many people that I'm that making films about, people like who are Holocaust survivors. And finally, like 60 years after, 70 years after the Holocaust, they're actually talking about it because they're seeing patterns of the past, right? And they're like, oh, I gotta, like, I even know this is traumatic for me, and I'm like 90 years old. I'm going to talk about this finally because this is I'm seeing the patterns, and I remember seeing with your film, it's like yeah, there needs to be like you're showing imprints, actual imprints of the Holocaust, like all over Europe, and basically with the thing. I thought it was like such a an amazing film, and that these people are doing that because it's like this is relevant. We have to remember what happened because we're doomed to repeat ourselves, right? And that's what that film was about. So it's one of my the most memorable films of 2013 for me. So it's amazing that you guys submitted again. And now, I don't know, arguably this could even be a better film than Tracks. So some people could
Well, no,
argue.
I appreciate that. And, Matthew, I hadn't really thought about it in this context, but, Tracks was about healing, and Space for Art is about healing. And that's something I hadn't really thought about that. Certainly, the art is an obvious thing. And I think that was one of the powerful kind of themes in Tracks was, having this sculptor who was doing every stone by hand, very, very powerful. So, of course, that's very logical, but this idea of healing both, countries in Europe who it took them, 75 years to heal, and for survivors, sadly we're losing them every week, but the healing of those survivors and their families. So, and that's what made the making of, well, actually the making of both films, I think, really satisfying for me was to see the physical manifestation of healing through art. And in the case of tracks, there's nothing more traumatic than the tens and tens of millions of people that lost their life in World War II. But also, it's just equally as important to the children and to the families in space for art, just the power of healing. And I think, it's a catharsis that everybody goes through when they participate in space for art, whether it's the doctors, whether it's the astronauts, whether it's families, whether it's the patients, everybody gets that cathartic feeling of hope and kind of a positive energy. And so, in the film itself, I mean, there's a beautiful, beautiful moment where we talk about this one patient, and they talk about wisdom beyond their years. This very, very young child who leans over and talks to the astronaut and talks about the similarity between what she's going through as a patient and what she imagines the similarity with the astronaut. And the astronaut who's been through a lot of intense real world stuff in her life was just gobstruck. She was just stunned when this child said that. And then she asked the child, well, in what ways? And the child says, well, you have to be away from your families, and you have to go through quarantine. And the child says, and isn't there something like you have to deal with radiation like me? And the astronaut was floored. But that's what makes those special moments, part of those kind of rays of hope, the rays of optimism, and also, those moments of healing as well.
So tell me the origin story of how this film came to be, because you're getting into this world of space and astronauts, and it's in and it seems such an interesting project, but how do you get inside? How do you like what's the how did you like meet the subject and kind of start this journey for the film?
Well, thanks for that question. So, I've had the honor to work with Nicole Stott for many, many years in various nonprofit initiatives. And I mean, what an amazing individual. She started off as a ballerina and then became an engineer, a pilot, eventually an astronaut, the first person to ever paint in outer space. And then for her most important life mission is this mission that she embarked on, which is really working with kids who are in these pediatric cancer wards that are fighting a tough, tough fight, and just trying to come in there to inspire them, maybe distract them a little bit, maybe to pull out some beautiful creativity during some difficult times. So when she was telling me this story, and it was kind of just informally, at a dinner party and having a drink, and she started telling me this story, and I mean, it's hard for it not to grab your heart. But I just thought, oh my God, this is a story that the world needs to hear about, and particularly nowadays, as we started off this podcast talking about some of the painful problems in the world today, and this is like one good story. This is one good story that brings hope to everybody. And it's wonderful to get away from all the annoying things that have just taken over the press. And of course, part of that is the dysfunction of the social media cycles that kind of exaggerate this kind of all the negative news. And so when I heard the story, I was like, okay, we've got to do it, because it's positive news, it's an important cause, and in a sense, we're trying to become, help the kids themselves have a voice, so what could be more important than that?
And as you said, as you kind of alluded in a way, like both sides of the aisle can agree with this story. Both political sides of the aisle can like, how can anybody disagree with this story?
Exactly. And then the other thing that's kind of interesting, and here's maybe a contrast with the two films, one of the things that makes the track such a difficult subject was that when we were interviewing Alexander, who was the key subject of the previous film, he said it would take them 80 years to make enough stones just to honor the people only in the Netherlands. And of course, the reason for that was because every stone They do it by hand. Every letter is by hand. And and it's interesting because you could think, oh, well, nowadays with 3D printing, can't we just do these memorial stones? Can't we just push a button? But that was kind of the artist reaction to the mechanization of the Holocaust itself. So part of that demanded that everything had to be done by hand. But I guess the contrast is that in the film Space for Art, I think one of the things that is beautiful and brings a lot of hope is that we're connecting space art and healing, but it's probably the technology. It's a lot of the technology that is developed for space that eventually gets spun off and ends up in medicine and other areas that'll end up benefiting the kids. So right, so the previous film, it was kind of almost more retro. It was against mechanization, against technology, and this one is kind of it's flipped it on its head, and it's saying, hey, these kids and all of us are going to continue to benefit and become healthier through technology.
So you bring up an interesting, this is a quick segue point, but you bring up an interesting point that I've always thought about, where like we're like, this is discovery, space is discovery, right? Discovery of the unknown. And the people are like, why would the government spend all this money on billions of dollars, right? Like, look at the space race of the 60s, right? Why did we spend billions of dollars so the man could be on the moon? But you see, you kind of alluded that, look at like all the other things that kind of like channeled through that exploration, right? Like it happens with war, but war is war, right? Like you rather go search for discovery than, go to war, because war also creates different inventions and mechanisms and for the next generation. But that's what things like this does, right? Like it invents new things, right? When you try to discover something new, new things get invented along the way.
I think that that's exactly right. And that is a common complaint that we hear, which is, hey, there's people that are homeless on the streets. How could we go to space? And I think that every great society ought to be able to do both, right? Because it's not, I believe in abundance and not scarcity. So the point is that we if we can transform, and maybe, and that's sort of sort of the themes of these films that are meant to inspire, is that we want people to think about abundance, whether it's abundance of optimism or love or healing or remembrance. That's all abundance. And I think a lot of the problems in the world come down to an artificial mindset of scarcity. And I think that it is interesting because space did come out of war, really the Nazis who pioneered it. But and then the thing that people don't like to talk about a lot, which was that the Nazi rocket scientists ended up in Soviet Union and mostly in the United States. But nowadays, civilian space, which has helped create so much of the technology, the Apollo technology with all the spin-offs. There's a huge multiplier effect. So for every dollar that these governments spend on space program, it benefits society in terms of things like Teflon and all the things that we know about, kind of at a popular level. But also there's all the technologies, including a lot of the imaging technologies and medicine. So that is the positive news. And hopefully, it's not just this film, but hopefully hundreds of these types of films start to change the way people think and say that, hey, we can do both.
Well, and just to go, terrible people do interesting, like basically, like there's been some terrible, terrible human beings who are artists, right? Like to go back to like Eisenstein, and basically the person who invented editing was like he made a KKK movie, right? So basically it's like, but he still like evolved film, right? So it's like, or terrible musicians and like the Nazi, rocket scientists, right, who helped put man on the moon. But this is human nature, right? Like terrible people do productive things for society sometimes, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting because as much as we all detest the Nazis, and rightly so, I mean, the interesting thing is they knew the power of propaganda, so they really perfected filmmaking because they needed to do
There you go.
that,
There's another.
to brainwash people. But you know, and I think that a lot of these the artistic technology, like of music and of film, you know, it is a tool that could be used for good or ill. And I think that's the great thing about your film festival is that it elevates beauty and you know, and it ignores the evil. And you know, what a great relief. Thank you guys for doing that.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Could I use that as a testimonial? I haven't heard
Yeah.
that one before.
Yeah,
Yeah.
if you need to change the
That's
tagline.
amazing. Okay, so tell me about like diving into this world. Like, was it always, 'cause there's a feature film in here, right? But I know you guys are busy. Were you thinking like this 15 minutes and you kind of told a great story? Were you thinking like a bigger project, or did you always have like this kind of short film kind of
You know,
story in the film?
short form documentary is just something that you know, after doing several long form documentaries, we've really settled in on the short form. And you know, I think that in both of these cases, in a number of the other shorts that I've been involved with, you know, it's almost like trying to capture a certain moment in time, you know, and you know, it's almost like this perfect nugget of history. And I think, you know, for us, we do think about that. And I mean, it's doing a full you know, full form documentary or even another type of film. You know, it's always possible, it's always in the back of our mind, but we try to be very task oriented. And we just thought that if we can just accomplish our goal, and that's one of the wonderful things that's unique about your film festival and everyone who's involved with the filmmaking on our side, right? And you know, you always forget about how many people are involved because you know, it's people see a film come up on the screen and then they for you know, it's easy to forget about all the different people who are involved with that, you know, on the production side and you know, on location and so forth. But I think one of the things that's super remarkable about your festival is that when you get the audience interviews back, which you're kind enough and generous enough to share with the filmmakers. And you know, even though it's a short form film, we put a lot of thought into like, okay, what are we trying to communicate? How are we trying to communicate this? You know, and we're honoring the story. And are we honoring the story of the kids? Are we honoring the family? Are we honoring the people that set up the Space for Art Foundation? And I think that it's so gratifying when we hear the interviews with the audience members, and they're repeating back some of the key things that were in our mind when we put them together the film. And so for us, that's a success, you know, when the audience says we got it, and here's the two or three things that really resonate with us, and we're thinking, oh God, that thank God, because that was the one or two or three or four things that we were trying to communicate, and so we feel a sense of accomplishment. But you know, I think we're going to let this percolate, and then you know, probably next year we'll say, okay, from a point of view of film, what should be next? What's the logical thing to be next?
So what are the people of Space for Art Foundation, what did they, when you showed them the film, what was their reaction?
You know, they were very gratified. I mean, you know, because telling a story like this is really, really important because you know, it's like, I think a lot of people, a lot of audience members, when they, you know, they hear a title Space for Art, you know, they're not really quite sure what to think of it. They generally, if they hadn't had a chance to read the program or read the background of it. So, you know, and we wanted to tell the story of like, how does a small kind of band of brothers, how does a small group of people get together and say, hey, we got this great idea that can go global, that can be art and healing. And we can roll it out across the planet. It's such a big, powerful idea. And so we tried to show that part, and we wanted to capture that part for history, but we also wanted to show like the kids and the real impact that it made. And so, you know, I mean, so if it had been done maybe more from an academic point of view, it might have been very focused just on kind of structure. And like, you know, here's how you structure a nonprofit and here, whatever, here's all the steps, the 5 steps that were taken to do that. I think that would have lost the most important part, which is the kids, the art, and the healing. So I think we were able to bring it together with a good balance, and we were satisfied. And I think that the Space for Art Foundation founders and key members were satisfied that that balance, that we were successful in achieving that balance from their point of view.
Yeah, 100%. So they, yeah, because I'm assuming you showed them the film before you kind of put it in festivals because you wanted their
Yes.
approval.
Yeah, I exactly. And it's, we come in from the outside and we haven't lived it every day. We haven't, fought all the challenges that they fought. And it's, I think it's really important, and I'd say almost more as a journalist than a filmmaker, but almost as a journalist to get the story right and not to have it show up on the big screen and then have some of the key stakeholders say, wow, that's a disappointment, or that, they spent too much time on this aspect of the film, but not enough time on this aspect. So we thought it was important to make sure kind of the accuracy of the film, that people said yes, that that's accurate, and that is exactly what we do every day, or that's exactly what we ourselves are trying to communicate. So I think it was important to show them the kind of the rough screening.
Gotcha. And then I'm assuming because kids are in the film, like a lot of still images, you have to get approval from the parents to have the kids in the film.
Yeah, exactly. And some of the family members have seen it, and to me, this thing's going to show at Beverly Hills next Saturday. So it's the West Coast premiere of the film at a Beverly Hills Film Festival. And it's always nice to be recognized by your colleagues and in the industry. But for me, in my heart, if the family members and the kids are happy with the film, then I'm satisfied. I mean, of course I want to be, recognized by the industry, but for me, it's more important for the family members.
Members. So the film's doing well, right?
Yeah, it's doing really well, and we're really happy with it. And the great thing is, as filmmakers, we always enjoy a little bit of buzz, but we understand from the foundation that they've really enjoyed the increase in profile. And I think for them, they just have their, they just have their head into the project, and a lot of times they don't have time to look up. But it's a great kind of relief for them that, people are now contacting them saying, how do we do partnerships? How do we expand this? How can we, involve more kids and more families? And from my point of view, that's very satisfying.
So there, yeah. So because you guys have the Space for Art Foundation.org is the website, and then they have a link on your about your film on the website.
Yeah, so they have the trailer, and then they have just kind of some
Upcoming screenings.
background on it, and I think they'll keep it updated. And then when it's done with the festival run, people will be able to see the full film. It'll be available on the website.
So that was my next. So you're gonna keep it on. It's like a promotional. You made a promotional film for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because a lot of times we didn't necessarily start with that in mind, but I think like, we started thinking about it, and that became, because I think one of the complaints, particularly with filmmakers, but one of the complaints is like, hey, how come a lot of these short form documentaries, how come they don't get enough respect? It's hard to get distribute them. It's hard to get the message out there. And from my point of view, it's like, for I think it's a great success if people are able to watch this, easily, where they can easily find it on the internet, they can learn the story. If they want to get involved, they can get involved. And from my point of view, that's more important than trying to cling on to some proprietary copyright and not let anybody see it in the future.
Well, from a business standpoint, that's a great answer. That's a great point. But with the business standpoint, people want a return on their investment, I guess, right? So.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that for people like me that have done this, because with the previous film, Tracks, which was is with the Stoppelstein Foundation in the Netherlands, I think eventually there'll be a small part of the documentary and short form will actually be able to be, kind of like almost like a for benefit company, where it's kind of a win-win for everybody, where these organizations that are profiled, or the work that they're doing is profiled, is going to help them. It's going to be able to help the filmmakers. So I think you can get the right balance. I mean, I think sometimes you get these kind of super vanity films that just kind of they spend a lot of money and they go away. And I think this is kind of the opposite of that, which is we're here to serve a community and hopefully people can enjoy the film, you know, for years to come.
So I was talking to your to the director, or you, maybe it was you. I think it was the director on email, and my wife was saying that this should be in schools. We should this they we, this film needs to be in schools. People, kids need to see this film.
So, you know, and we're happy to organize that. You know, obviously there'll be no charge for that, and that'll be organized through the Space for Art Foundation. And really, there'll probably be this kind of run for the film festival circuit. And once it's over, it'll go out to everybody. You know, and
Yeah.
so
So
they
you,
the
but I'm,
people.
do you agree with that statement? Because I think it kids like it's this is a great film for kids to watch.
Well, you know, it's interesting because. I mean, I think you and I have, you know, similar sensitivities. I mean, we, you know, when if you think about kind of tracks and the commentary, you know, coming out of the Holocaust, I mean, that's a, it's some, and that's something also that students should know about, young people, next generation should know about. But I think also, you know, with Space for Art, there are a lot of people, you know, who have, you know, if you think about it, people in North America are the top 1% of the planet. We're all one percenters. People don't want to think that way, but
Yeah.
the entire continent, we're all one percenters, globally speaking. And I think the sad thing is that with so much wealth, and wealth in a broad sense, not just financial wealth, but just, you know, the fact that we get clean water and we get clean food and we get great educations and so forth. Sometimes I think people have a hard time putting that in perspective, and people sometimes are they want to think about being victims, and they want to think about scarcity, and they want to think about conflict, and they and I think by showcasing a film like Space for Art, hopefully young people can try to put things in context and maybe think about for you know gratitude and fortune and maybe how they can be of service. And I think you know, and it's interesting because you know you think about gratitude. You know, gratitude, people who have gratitude, they say, are healthier people. So if you just want to be selfish, people should have gratitude just to be selfish, just to
Yeah.
be healthy. But isn't it, isn't, I mean, that there's nothing more noble and more enjoyable when you know, you're able to benefit, help others.
Or if you believe in the ideology of karma, right? So
Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. But I hope that young people who feel frustrated or scared, or they feel that, or that they don't fit in or whatever, when they see either one of those films, that they can hopefully just feel a tiny bit more gratitude, more appreciation, more hope, and hopefully that they themselves that they feel like they could be more capable of having a brighter future. And part of that is just in context to the struggles, the real struggles that other people have.
So the answer is yes, it should be, it should play at schools.
It should, and I think it, and I think there's a utilitarian argument, you know, like not like just oh, hopefully they'll appreciate art, but like oh my God, like let them love life and let them think about how they might help people, you know, what even if it's to help their parents or help their family members or help you know other people in their class, then I'll feel like we've kind of accomplished our job.
Well, in but it's space. Space is cool, right? You
Yeah, I
like
mean,
space.
and that's kind of one of my part of my personal backstory is I've been people consider me you know kind of a space nerd. I'm a space nerd, but it's interesting because space sometimes people think you know they say oh, it's a lot of money or it's cold. It's not really about humanity, but the other side of it is all about dreaming and you know and the art of the possible, you know, and entire generations were changed by Star Trek, you know, and back then when Star Trek first came out, you know, it was still during the Cold War. We had Chekhov, you know, people had to work with the Russians and they had people from all different ethnicities. And at that time, that amazed people. You know, you know, the first interracial kiss on television was Star Trek. So, you know, and so it opens up a lot of frontiers. It opens people's minds. So that's the positive part of space, but I think a lot of times people want to think about, oh, it's colder. It's these big, faceless companies. But I prefer to look at the magical part of
Yeah,
space.
100%. It's just that I think that people, like basically someone like, I don't want to say the names, but these multi-billionaires who are like, well, we're gonna live on Mars, and like they're using it as their toys, right? Like of something to do with their money, kind of a thing, right? So.
Yeah, but again, that goes back to scarcity versus abundance. And I think and I think for me, one of the messages I hope that when people walk away from that is, A, we can have control over our own destiny. Also, you don't want people, I mean, because these guys, one of the things that they could do with all the billions, they could just hang out at the beach and take drugs or do whatever they want. So these guys are actually trying to do something. But I think more importantly, it's about optimism, and it's about trying to have an impact on our destiny, and hopefully people get to see that. And I think, and the other thing I would juxtapose that with is, some people are also frustrated at governments for like not showing enough progress in space. It's like, hey,
Sure.
we spend all this money and we don't really get the progress. And so I think that some of the smaller countries, and by the way, geographically, Canada is huge, but the Canadians are some of the most clever in terms of where they fit into the space ecosystem. They've been done a great job with robotics and so on and so forth. It's the bigger countries that, like the United States, the European Space Agency, that really struggle with like how do you make an impact? They're good at hiring tens and tens and tens of thousands of people, but actually, a lot of the inspiration, I think, should come out of places like India that does things very efficiently, or Canada that is incredibly focused on what their strategy is with space. But at the end of the day, I mean, those are all great, and I get energized by that stuff. But then it's this real stuff that that we hopefully showcased in this film. If
Yeah.
I can then turn that around and really, excite these kids who are enduring very difficult times in the hospital and fighting off disease. That just makes my day, But in the meantime, in the background, I'm always being a space nerd on the kind of the
Yeah.
other techie stuff.
Well, you're talking about like even with Space for Art, is that like it's a socialized program, right? So it's not designed to make money, and I
That's
think
right.
that there's good and bad of capitalism, right? So, but sometimes you need situations like I think you're talking about Canada, where like they're not there to make money, right? They're there to like figure some stuff out and like and create and explore. Whereas I think sometimes with like you're talking about European countries and the States, it's like now we're in a capitalistic venture, right? So it's like how are we going to make money from
Yeah,
this?
but here's what makes the Canadians, in my view, clever about what they do in space. The problem with government space in the U.S. or in Europe is that it's big and inefficient, and there's a bunch of reasons for that. It's just inefficient. But the Canadians say, look, we don't have a, we're you know we're not like the United States. We have to be very serious about how to be focused and to get things done. So to me, it's really more of a commentary, more about how do you become efficient and get things done? And I think the Canadians in India, for example, have a lot to show people. I think when you get to be the size of Europe and the United States, then it's we have a number of space centers spread out throughout the United States, and they all
Yeah.
fight over money. The European Space Agency, they all fight over money, so they don't get anything done. But it's easy in Canada because they just say, hey, commercially, we're gonna, at the end of the day, our companies will make a lot of money selling, robots and all the
Yeah.
other things that the Canadians have pioneered. And it's super smart and super simple. But these bigger countries, it's almost like an embarrassment of riches because they've got a lot of money and they're big countries, but then they just melt down when it comes to the bureaucracy and the politics.
Well, it's almost like an allegory for independent film versus the studios, right? Like I
Yeah,
worked.
well, that's exactly right. Because if you try to do some of the films that we do, you try to do it in a studio, these films would cost they would cost so much money, they would take so much time, they'd be less relevant by the time they came out, and they would have costed so much, and then nobody would come to see them. And yeah, so I think that that's the beauty of independent film, which is that you can make them, very community-based, grassroots up, very timely and very relevant. And I was just at a film festival a few weeks ago, and it was a dramatic feature by some very, very young filmmakers. And it was the stars, the talent in the film that said they rolled into this town in Switzerland, and they got everybody in the town wanted to help in the making of this film. And they said they created millions of dollars of value by just having everyone in the town do that. No big studio can do that. No, they're gonna everyone in the town's gonna hate their guts, and it's gonna take forever. They're gonna trash the town. It's gonna be terrible.
I worked in locations in the studio system for a couple of years. So yeah, that's exactly what happens. You roll in the town and you buy your town. You literally buy the town, right?
Yeah.
You buy every part of the town, and then they all hate you in the end because basically, and they want more money too. At the end, they want more because they realize that
And these young filmmakers,
they
it
come
was
in.
almost like these guys were just freshly out of college, and they said, "Hey, let's just do this thing." And it was, but it was so great to hear that, like, just grassroots, bottom up filmmaking.
Yeah. Well, this is a great film. So I'm assuming you guys are working on another project now, or?
So we could have been working on one now. We were going to do it on the California super bloom, that happens kind of every 10 years or so. But this year, while there are going to be a lot of flowers, it's not technically a super bloom. So we're going to roll that to when we actually get one, which may be next year or the following year, probably.
Okay.
So that could be the next film.
So that's the Natural Wonder film that you're gonna make.
And I think there's a lot that we can do, and I work very closely with the scientist who's kind of an expert on different animals that only eat certain color flowers. So there's kind of this whole, so it's really about natural wonder and beauty and all this other stuff, but using that as a way to tell a story.
Well, you guys are always will be welcome at our festival. I thought that you've like these two films are fantastic, and I appreciate your time. And yeah, you gotta. It's just like it's just such a touching film. Like it's got rewatchable appeal. I've seen it a few times, and it's just like you always grab something new. And it's like, and from a structural standpoint, it's very simple. It's like if you're I'm gonna break down your filmmaking style. It's like. But you nailed it. It's so, it's like you guys are great storytellers. You guys get to the heart of humanity. So I know it's a cliche to say that, but you really do.
Well, we're super grateful, and I have to say that the format of this festival is really cool. I think it's kind of like almost like a filmmakers festival, and we get invited to some glitzy festivals. But there's something very special about this, and I really like the format with hearing your audience feedback, and particularly since that they watch it and they have some really careful and thoughtful things that they say about it, and also like really authentic. Like, this is that, they'll just say, "This is what touched me," and that's, as a filmmaker, it's like, that's fantastic. So please continue to do what you do, and we love to be invited back, and we'd love to share the next film with you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much. And hope maybe we'll meet in person eventually next couple years.
I think our paths will cross, being in the same industry for sure.